If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Interesting as Fuck. We are here this is your first episode with us. We are here to talk about how one is interesting at work, personally, at parties, on the metro, in an elevator, whichever one you'd like. We've had a couple, previous episodes where we kind of set up the narrative, like why we're doing this, how we're doing it. This episode, what's on the docket for today is the following. We are going to we're going to give you suggestions on how to exit a conversation. We had an episode two ago about how to enter one, and now we're talking about how to exit one. And we thought it was very timely because of, what is it? 4.8 billion people are voting this year or something like that. So political discussions, heated discussions are happening. And sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. You just want to leave. You don't want to have a conversation about it. Or if you're talking to somebody and need to go, how to exit. That's what's on the docket for today. And then, of course, we will chat about that. And then at the end, we will tell you what our next episode is. So, Elaine, take us away. I have a great example about how to exit or not exit a conversation. But, I think this is a great skill to have, especially given light of, like you said, when we were chatting about this, about the holidays that are coming. How do you exit a conversation?
Oh boy, I am not the best at exiting a conversation. But like we said, when we introduced this is also to help us continue to grow as people.
Indeed. And as I said in like how to enter a conversation, maybe I shouldn't just enter it and just maybe I should have a little bit more finesse.
No, but sometimes it depends. So I know I like to manage expectations. If we're taught, because it's really a case by case basis, but if it needs to be a quick conversation or someone kind of calls you or reaches out of the blue, unscheduled, which, not everything has to be, but a lot of times people be like, hey, am I catching you at a good time? Instead of just saying yes, I'll be like, yeah, but, or be like, no, hey, but like, I do have time now. So sometimes it's about managing expectations to be like, I have 10 minutes and I have to, it's a hard stop in 10 minutes. And I don't think that's rude. I think that's respecting your time. That's if you legitimately do have a meeting, that's respecting the person's time who you're meeting with. If you want to use that as an excuse because you think this might turn into a longer conversation than you think it is, like, sure, you have 5 minutes, like, so it needs to be brief. That's always okay. In terms of like you're at a party or you're at a reception and it's just whether the conversation's just not interesting to you anymore, it's taking a turn you don't like, or you just genuinely have to go. I mean, if you just genuinely have to go, that's an easy one. In terms of backing out of a conversation, like I kept laughing to myself because I just kept picturing Homer Simpson, like backing up into the hedges or like Peter Griffin, like, well, time for me to hit the old dusty trail. I just kept thinking like, what are, my examples of that. And it's honestly, it's something I need to get better at. But because I'm also Italian. I'm a Sagittarius. I am stubborn. I'm direct. So sometimes, depending on who the crowd is, I will say, I'm no longer comfortable with this conversation and I'll just leave, right? Yeah. That makes my feelings known. I've just stopped my participation in the conversation. Right. I think also, again, I'm kind of rambling, but it really just depends on the situation. Sometimes, like if someone enters a room that I was waiting to see, or I know somebody, that's the best one, right? Like kind of like say by the bell, you're kind of in this conversation where you're like hemming and hawing, or it's a conversation you don't like. And then someone, you know, walks in, you could say like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. Some, you know, so-and-so just walked into the room and I've been waiting to see them, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I think like sticking around doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do the other person any good. Do you have any good ways of that, like slow walking it?
Yeah, like Homer Simpson backing it. Yeah. You know, honestly, when I, you know, are part of a conversation that I really don't want to be part of anymore, let's say it's getting politically heated or people are talking about things. And of course, these two, you know, I think there are two distinct places where these things happen. It's either a work conversation or a personal conversation. And the idea is, if you're doing a work conversation, honestly, and I say this, I think with absolute certainty that Elaine would also agree with me, never get into a heated conversation at work. Like, just let it go. You are not going to change that person's mind. And this won't be the place for you to do it, right? So I think in that instance, it's a for work thing. You know, you can go quickly. You know, if it's getting heated and there's like a lull in the conversation because they're expecting you to talk, you'd be like, that's interesting to hear. I, you know, probably need to read up more on it. But actually, now that now that I look at my watch, I have a call. It's okay. Like in that instance, like it's okay to, you know, I have a call, I have a meeting, and just
I have to prepare for a call.
If you have to prepare for a call, if like you have, oh, you have a deadline, something you need to submit. But I think in that instance, like work related, I think it's always best to exit a heated conversation.
As soon as possible.
As soon as you can. Because we all get heated, right? I get heated. I've been in situations where I've gotten heated in a work conversation and I apologized afterwards. So that's what I did. I was like, that wasn't the place for that to do it. It was inappropriate. And it happens to everybody. And I think don't beat yourself up too much about it. But I think if you have like a plan for the next time, I think that's what you can do.
I think apologizing is a really good thing. If I can stop us there for a second, I think that like admitting that you're wrong, or not even that you were wrong, or maybe you just got a little bit more excited than you intended to. Like, I think that's the best. I feel like it seems like people are having a harder and harder time doing that, but I do just want to point out that that's a really good move.
Yeah. Because apologize is, I always think, you know, people are always taking two approaches to apologizing and being wrong, that it is, you know, very like some way makes you look less, and it doesn't. It makes, you know, that, if the other person interprets it as weakness, that's their problem. You are getting better and you're improving your skills. So I think that's number one. And I think at work, it really creates and helps you have a way to manage conflict, right? If you know how to exit a conflict that you're not ready to manage, right? And you kind of bring other people down. There's actually a great book called but I know it's Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan Haidt's the guy that wrote about, that's writing about the cell phones and then kids can't have cell phones. He wrote about why good people get really heated and really kind of nasty sometimes about politics and religion. It's called
The Righteous Mind. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
and it's a great book to like talk about. And he gives you kind of these tactics on how to, like, if I remember correctly, I like read it a while ago. But that's kind of one of the things that you kind of can look at. So I think that's number one for a work related conversation. Get out as quickly as possible. You know, if you need to fib and say you're preparing for something, have a deadline, do it, because it will end in tears. Don't do it. To a personal, like, kind of context. So I think, you know, that is up to you, right? It's who you're talking to. If you're talking to a family member, I think it really depends on how close you are to that family member. Usually, you know, it can get heated, but you can kind of bring it back down with like a joke or something. Or if you want to go and you can say, you know, like you said, if it's a friend, family, you can be like, you know what? I'm not comfortable with this conversation. Maybe we should talk about something else. Did you see what that aunt did the other week, right? And bring it to something completely random, right? That's one, right? And that could not necessarily be about politics. It could be about something that you, like an internal conflict. I think, you know, a personal one also, and this is a story that I will say. Last week, I was at the Metro, and, you know, in the area that we live, obviously, a lot of people talk about politics, a lot of people talk about, you know, these things, and I got cornered by somebody who obviously had maybe some mental health issues and was chatting. And the first thing that I did was, crap, I'm near subway tracks. I am going to back myself against a wall as quickly as possible, right? I did not want to give this person any like fodder for me to like, you know. And this person was just talking. She was just saying certain things that I obviously didn't agree with, but I kept going, okay. And it was the most conspiracy laden theories I've ever heard. And so I kept going, oh, I haven't really looked into it. I haven't researched it. I have to do the research. And then she goes, and she went for my trigger. She goes, I don't know how these kids get jobs these days. They're not really that intelligent. I was like, was that just called stupid? I just kept going.
What?
Yeah. And in that instance, I could not exit a conversation, right? I had to just sit there.
She baited you.
She did bait me.
She needled you.
She did not get me. I learned my lesson from the day before seeing the master baiter. Anyway, so, you know, that's a personal issue where you are against somebody who might, if you feel, you know, never, you know, doubt your instincts. If you feel like it might turn violent or might try to like be as non-committal as possible, keeping it, you know, neutral ground, let that person, usually when these people speak, they just want to be speaking. They do not want to hear your opinion. They do not care. They just want to speak. And I think, that's another situation. But three, when you actually want to exit a conversation, what I've done is if I'm at a reception, for example, for work or personal, I usually don't really say anything to anybody except for the host. I always, you know, somehow like go, thank you so much for the invite. It was great. I will, you know, text you later or something like that. And I leave. I think knowing when to leave is very important.
Yes.
Timing is extremely important in these situations because, you know, I think sometimes when you're chatting with people that you know or don't know, you kind of know where the conversation's going to go, right? If it's a work related context, you're going to be working, talking about projects and things like that. And eventually you're going to be like, oh, well, the deadline is X, Y. Maybe we should have a call next week to talk about the next steps, right? So there's a lot of ways that, you know, contextually, you know, you can exit those. But I think it's about trusting your intuition. It's about trusting your gut. Your gut usually is not wrong. If you're talking to somebody and you go, you know what, I'm starting to feel slightly uncomfortable here. You know, they'll say certain things and you're like, and then I would find, you know, maybe a lull in the conversation. Like you said, if you saw somebody, you can be like, oh, I really need to chat with this person. You know, we can.
Oh, my cup is empty. I need to go refill.
Let me get another beverage. I need to go to the bathroom. Like, go to the bathroom, man. Like, it's.
And okay. Then I just never come back. And then I just never leave. Never come back.
You know, I think there's, you know, work receptions, I don't think you really like say goodbye to the host or whatever. I mean,
no.
I tend to, but then again, like it's not, but always, and the exiting conversation in like a party, you guys do not be the last people to leave a party. Just don't.
No.
Do not be. The second you start seeing a little bit more space than you did before, even though you're having a great ass time, leave. My husband yes. will not leave a situation. Like if we ever go to like a party or something, I have to be like, we have to go.
I find that very interesting based on his country of origin.
it's very much like he never has FOMO ever in his life, but like at a party he does not like know when to stop. I'm like, dude,
what does that feel like to not have FOMO? What does that feel like? Because I live with it all the time. It's all why I'm constantly busy.
Yeah.
I also married someone who like suffers from it too. So we're constantly like, of course, we're going to do all the things because we have to.
Exactly. He does not have FOMO except for when he's at a party. When he's at a party.
That is hilarious.
He will not.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shooketh.
It's so contradictory. You're just like, you're literally like, you know, so he's very quiet, reserved, but he'll be like, he's very yeah. social in a way. Like he likes being around people. And I go, you know, we have to go. Like we have to go. And like, go ahead.
It's so funny. I've seen conflicting reports, which about, you know, we won't. Many of us a little bit older may know this as what has been dubbed the Irish exit. We'll call it an abrupt exit or ghosting a party.
Ghosting.
But I've seen
the young people understand ghosting, right?
But like I've seen conflicting reports that is actually like the proper thing to do in a large ghost? Party.
Just leave.
Well, okay. But basically like you're saying, like of course you think your host, you go say goodbye to them, but then like, okay, I'm Italian. I have to say goodbye to everyone in the room for 10 minutes.
Yep.
That can take a while. And I also like, I'm also not thinking ahead and being like, all right, it's an hour out from when we'd like to leave. We need to start saying goodbye now. And so also like oftentimes people will interrupt conversations to say goodbye to people.
Yep.
And so literally, like, I've seen conflicting reports, and it's also, I feel like it's a very divisive issue amongst people who do it and don't do it, to say, yeah. like, we just, and I will say, I used it because we were just kind of, when I was pregnant, we were just kind of getting back into, like, seeing people, right? Because we were both pregnant during COVID, so we've got COVID babies. And so, like, coming out of that and being back at parties, like, when I was ready to go, we just left. And so it was the first time I ever really got into that practice. And we would get in the car and I'd be like, oh my God, I get why people do this.
Yeah.
I just saved us 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like, you know, for us, like North Africans, we have to say goodbye to everybody. Like I've just recently got into the thing of just telling the host goodbye and leaving. Like maybe saying goodbye to like one or two people. Like for example, Elaine, if you were at a party and it wasn't you hosting, I'd say goodbye to you, right? Like I wouldn't be.
Oh, of course.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Of course.
You know, of course, there's every like. But that this might be when we post this episode. Maybe we put this as a poll for everybody: is Irish
love it
ghosting a party or whatever people are calling
love it.
Maybe love we it. Do this on Instagram because we are millennials and we do everything.
Yeah, no, I mean,
none of that.
We're not going to do all the other stuff. No, no.
Facebook's too old. I have not.
Oh, no.
Logged into my account since like 2017.
I can't. I just can't.
I Irish exited Facebook.
I said goodbye to no one.
My last post was like, my last post was like of a ceiling.
A ceiling? Wait, now?
And you've seen pictures of like too much negative space, like an idiot, because I don't know how to take pictures. And also, how are people taking taking pictures out in the wild? Like, are we like just randomly like pulling out our phones and like taking pictures of shit? Because I always like do it really fast. I'm like, I don't want people to see I'm taking a picture. I get really nervous. Anyway, I think
I love taking pictures.
I think it's of a
scene. I'm trying to find like the last legitimate like Facebook, because there might be one where it was like still connected to my Instagram page that's up there, but like I'm trying to legitimately find like a post that I did that's it's probably just fundraising. It's probably just marathon fundraising, to be honest with you. But anyway,
when I was doing the race for the Every Mom, Every Mother Counts, I did a post there.
There you go. Okay. Anyway. I love the idea of the poll.
What people think, and we can like, I love you it. Know, next episode we can like chat and
reveal see, it,
you know, kind of talk about the results. I think we've gotten some like good pointers here, right? You know, if it's at a party, you don't need to say goodbye to everybody, and that myself and Elaine are taking that as a note. We are gonna try to.
We're going to take our own recommendations into the wild.
We are. Into the wild. We're definitely going to do this. So this is like in a personal situation. In a personal situation, like having a, if you're having a heated discussion, if it's a family member or a friend, you can always, you can always just change the subject. Be like, I'm uncomfortable. Right. You know, they're a family member. Or even if, you know, they're not close, you can be like, peace, I'm out of here. I think it's much easier when it's work. Again, do not get into heated conversations, right? We want people out. We do not want people to have, you know, conflicts at work, because it just doesn't end well. So I think those are the things that, you know, I think writ large and like exiting conversations are always like things that I think of, at least.
I think it's a really, work versus personal is a very important distinction to make as well. Like very, very important one. Cause I agree. It's your reaction should be different in those situations.
Yeah. And it doesn't make you, you know, and I think a lot of, you know, people wonder if that makes you less authentic than not.
I don't think so.
You know, I think there's a lot of people, you know, that are like, obviously, and I mean this, you know, not just younger than us. I think everybody has like a personal and a private, you know, like a work and a personal like persona. And I think we, you know, there should be a distinction, because at work, there's a certain like, there's a line, right? You're there as an employee. You're there to fulfill like a certain purpose. And it's not necessarily about your opinions. And I think we've done this. We've worked with different organizations, different companies that we didn't necessarily agree with.
Right.
But we didn't say it, you know, at work, for example, right? We would say, this is what, from a professional context, you know, I can say, or I, you know, will say.
But do you also remember, I think it's literally inherent in everyone that your personality is a little bit different, or how you might react is different between work and home. Remember, we did the Discovery Insights, and I think what is part of it, so if the company you work for ever offers Discovery Insights, like, do not miss that day. It is so fascinating. It'll change the way you work with, it'll change the way you work with people. It'll change the way you converse with people, like truly. So, one of the most interesting things was you go through your results, and a lot of the questions are work related, but then they have you open to the page that shows you how you are and what your leading colors are at home. And everyone, literally every single person, their colors changed. And I'm not saying they flipped or anything, but the percentage of each color changes, because home you might have to be, you have to be more of the caretaker, or you have to be more nurturing, or at home you're the boss, so you have to be more direct. Yeah. So I thought that was fascinating. So I think it's like totally, I think that's everybody that's different between home and work.
I think that's a great point to bring up, right? It's okay. And it doesn't make you, like you said, less authentic or less of you. It just really makes you a little bit more cognizant of the fact that you don't necessarily need to mention your opinions on anything really at work.
Right.
I think we've talked about this, Elaine. I think a lot of people at work don't know my opinions on things because I've to a certain degree honed it as so to talk about topics, but not necessarily volunteer what I think about it. I actually ask what other people think about it. So that's another way to be interesting at work is to say, hey, like, for example, this book, The Righteous Mind, right? You know, if you pick it up, let us know what you think. And, you know, it could be like, hey, I read this book about, you know, how people have these conversations around these topics. Or you could talk about other things, you know, the show you're watching. It does, like, if you know it's going to be heated for you and you are, you know, on a, like, it touches you on a personal level, I think it's always good to, you know, keep it, keep out
or
of
or just change the subject. Yeah. You can absolutely just change the subject. You know what I mean? Like, that's perfectly fine too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're, you know,
speaking of changing the subject,
speaking of exiting
and changing the subject,
I don't think we can Irish exit here. I don't think we
No, that would be rude. Do we just like edit it? So it's just like, it's up.
No, we're
that would be hilarious though. But that would be so funny.
That would be funny.
Oh my God.
Maybe we do it at the end when we say what our docket stuff is, and then we go just like abruptly.
I love it. Well, I was going to say, in speaking of changing the subject, we've got a very interesting, because we like to be on brand and interesting on this podcast. Our next documentary on the docket for The Doc Is In, which will be next week's episode. We will be watching. I will be watching for maybe the fourth time.
And me for the first.
Yes, and you for the first. It is called Searching for Sugar Man. It is a music-themed documentary. It's such an interesting story. So these two men in South Africa who run, one of them, I believe, runs a record shop. They have this famous artist that really no one has ever heard of. And there were all these horrible rumors about how he died and all of these things. And so they start deciding, like, let's look into this. Like, we have the resources and we know the right people that can help us, like, track down the actual story of this guy. And that's what the documentary is. I'm not going to give away more than that. But it just turns into this other story again, kind of.
Again. I feel like that's like the
twist.
The twist that we're going for. So I was looking up so I could tell everybody where you can watch it. So there, you know, you can for purchase on, you know, kind of the regular YouTube, Google, Apple, did you know Fandango now has a streaming service? There you go.
Everybody has a stream. Isn't Chick-fil-A coming out with a streaming service?
We used to buy movie tickets off Fandango. Remember that?
I know, but everybody has a streaming service. Chick-fil-A is coming out with a streaming service. That was not an April Fool's joke.
Speaking of Chick-fil-A, do you know that they have a blue menu store at College Park?
No.
Yeah.
I do now.
I feel like that's a field trip. We just
done that and Pepe's. We still have to do Pepe's.
Yes. Yes.
My childhood pizza. Anyway.
That's awesome. so it's up for purchase. And just so you know, it has a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Not leading you, you know, Elaine would never lead you astray on a documentary.
Never.
So it has, you know, wonderful ratings and we're really excited. I'll be watching it for the first time, like all of you. And of course, remember we'll have spoilers on that. So, you know, remember to, you know, watch it before you start the episode. We'll always tell you, that there'll be spoilers, but you know, there you have it. Really excited about this one. And this was an episode of Interesting AF around how to exit conversations. And as always, Elaine will take us out.
Stay interested, everybody.
Bye.